Well,
you already did that to me.
I would like to. I know that Mr. Rose is usually likes to lead off, but I would like to start with asking him where we are on the impact study that we approved the finances for several months ago.
The funding for the impact study was approved as a part of this budget, and I have not advanced that since it was approved in June and really effective the 1st of July. I wanted to have this discussion first before we move forward, and I think after I have a good idea of what it is you're looking to achieve, perhaps we can better structure a scope for advancing that project.
But why don't we make that the question? What would you like to see that study achieve?
May I? Terry?
Councilmember Cusick.
I see that there are two major issues when we are dealing with Washington University. One is a quality of life issue for our residents, especially those in the Ames Place and in the neighborhoods closest to Washington University, where the majority of the student dorms are or student housing is located. So that's one issue, is what is the quality of life that our residents face in those neighborhoods, especially when they have parties and they block off whole streets and alleys, and 800 or 1,000 students descend on that area, and they just have these big bacchanals. Incidentally, I was lucky enough to attend the University Cities Summit meeting in Columbia with Mr. Mulligan recently, and we don't really have it as bad as some of the other cities that have universities that have 22,000 student population, and on a football weekend they can have 100,000 people, 150,000 people descending on their community. So I think that what we face is manageable. So I think the two issues: quality of life, what our residents, how they are impacted when we have so many students in the area, and parking. And then I think the other one is just what is the impact overall on University City and in providing services to Washington University? What kind of stress does it put on our resources and our ability to provide resources for all of our residents adequately and to be able to pay for those services? We currently provide police, EMS services, street cleaning, and even though we provide waste management, trash pickup, as Councilmember Carr has said so many times, even though Washington University may not use our services, we still have our trash trucks going through those areas and have to service those communities anyway. So that is a cost that we have to take on as well. And I think we don't know what Washington University's plans are. We just learned in the last week or two that Commerce Bank building in the Del Mar Loop is now up for sale. And will this be another piece of property that is gobbled up by Washington University, taking yet another prime piece of real estate in our downtown area off of the tax rolls? So I think that those are some of the issues that we can start with and look at.
Councilwoman Carr?
So I agree with my colleague, Mr. Cusick, but I disagree about the quality of life issues. They impact those people who live in Parkview Gardens as well. And particularly if they go to Park, they have some of the same parking issues. I think we address some of that. I think there's a lot that we can do with our code, or at least look at recouping it. And so I don't think we're in the beggar's position, so to speak. I think that there are approaches that we can take as a council with regard to the impact on the city. I would hope that this study would take into account the impact on the individual taxpayer, because in fact, because of the Hancock Law, the Hancock Amendment, that is shifted to the taxpayer. And the city still receives a certain amount, and more importantly, the school district, which gets about 69 or 70% of our county tax dollar, receives that. So there are some other issues as well. Mr. Cusick and I had the opportunity to talk to Jake Zimmerman, the county assessor. I looked at the Washington University properties, and while that we experienced an increase of 15% an average citywide increase on our land value of about 28%, and about 20% in structural, the buildings that Washington University owns and are on the tax rolls did not. Now, Mr. Zimmerman had some excuses, some of which I understand, and some of which, quite frankly, I don't buy. So again, Washington University is a very important and powerful stakeholder, not just in University City, but in the entire region. And that means that they have friends a lot of places. So we're going to have to, in a sense, take care of ourselves. I don't believe that there will ever be a pilot so long as they are not so inclined, and quite frankly, they are not so inclined. And even if they were, based on the kind of contracts we've been able to sign with them, they only go 5 to 10 years, and that's not that really will never account for the cost of delivering services to them. So while they don't pay for their trash because they have another trash, another solid waste handler. In fact, we sweep the streets, we plow the snow, we do all of those things that we tell our residents are included in their either tax dollars or their fees for trash. So they, you know, again, they're getting those services and they are not paying for them. So I'd like us. Once this impact study is done, and of course, keeping attention at what the impact is to the individual taxpayer, and I'm thinking more of those who are least likely to, you know, to shoulder that burden, or least likely to be able to shoulder that burden. I don't agree that the contributions that they make to our school system are extraordinary. In fact, I was told by a school board member that those contributions are actually the same contributions they make to every school district or any school district that asks. So there's nothing special here. And as far as I can determine, the Parkview Gardens plan was more of a plan designed for their development of their housing. Remember, Washington University is locating their housing. They may be, according to their 50-year long-range plan, they may be looking for the spot to house their administration as well, to take it off their campus. And will it happen here? Will it, in fact, happen on that property where Firestone is located? I have no idea what their plans are. And as Mr. Mulligan reminded several of us, in 2008, I believe, we passed a resolution. The council passed a resolution asking them with that area, the Millbrook Shopping Center, passed a resolution asking Washington University to give us a heads up and to date what their long-range plans are. Now, you can look at them. You can look at this broad outline from this company that they use to develop their long-range development plan, or you can look at the 2011 plan that they produced for the Loop. And what you will see, and it, for me, the two tie together, what you will see is that that it is very much impacts our city, although their contribution is predominant, financial contribution is predominantly in the city. So my feelings are that we do have an opportunity with Chancellor Martin, but I don't remember Chancellor Martin answers to his board too, and his board is largely populated by people who are okay with the status quo. We need to take care of ourselves. If we do not make an effort to take care of ourselves, then shame on us. And I would expect our constituents who shoulder this burden to do something about that.
I just had a quick
Member Hales and then Council Member.
Is everyone okay with this curtain being up? Are, because I know you're staring right out into it.
I kind of asked her to go up.
So. Oh, okay.
Well, I'm going to take off my glasses because I'm getting a reflection.
As long as it's overcast, I think it will be fine. There's consensus on that. Councilmember Hales and then Councilmember Clay.
Mr. Clay was first.
Yep. Thank you, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar. All right. There was some conversation about engaging Washington University. I think in an ongoing way, I think there were some meetings scheduled with them. Can we get an update on that? And is there any conversation about in potentially involving them in the study process?
Councilmember Clay, we currently have a roughly monthly, every couple of months, I have a meeting with Rose Windmiller and Joanna Schooler to talk about issues of mutual concern. One that we're focused on right now is improving the safety in the loop. And Chief Hampton and their chief, I can't recall his name, are working to draft up a strategy for that we're going to then bring to the City Council for consideration. So we have an opportunity to discuss, you know, what are we going to do about some of the parties that were occurring. They're going to participate in the apartment managers program that I'm trying to get off the ground, and primarily let them, the apartment managers, where we've had problems with letting them know that we're changing our approach to citation. So it's various issues like that we discuss roughly on a monthly basis. As it relates to the discussion that we had previously had about a fiscal economic impact study, the direction that the council wanted to go was the preference for that to be an internal study that's done by the city alone. That's where we are now. After I hear from the council, get your direction on the scope of the study, then I will draft up a scope and bring that information back to likely the subcommittee and then ultimately to the mayor and council for approval, and then do a work with the company to actually start that project. One of the issues, though, is what I'm hearing is that the study should primarily focus on fiscal impact, not necessarily economic impact, because the economic impact would include, in my mind, a multiplier that says, you know, what's the benefit of WashU, not necessarily direct, but how much spending power does their students have and so forth. But what I'm hearing is that's not the focus. The focus is what are the impacts on our services, what are the impacts on our resources that WashU is having.
You want to reply to that particular point before I go to?
Well, go ahead.
Councilmember Hills.
Thank you. I think the economic impact is important. One of the questions that I've had, given the change in the demographics of the folks who live near the Loop, in Parkview Gardens, a lot of these folks, how many of them are living there year-round? When we look at, you know, and we hear frequently about some of the challenges that we have in the Loop, do some of those challenges exist today because we have a student population that is gone during the summer months and then back in the winter months? And does that create some pressure and challenges? So I think that's sort of an important thing to for us to consider in this report, and particularly if there is a positive or a negative impact with the nature of the people who live nearby. For me, it seems like for years, it seemed like the city was accountable to WashU, and I think we need some accountability. I think there's accountability both ways, but I think we've got to get their accountability up. One of those is, for me, is what is the accountability of the university for their students when they are off campus, when they are in our neighborhoods, both in the buildings that the university owns, but also in the buildings that they don't own. As Steve said at one point, I don't know if it was in a meeting or we were talking, I think it was in a meeting where you talked about the, you know, read their honor code and read their, you know, code of behavior. And what does that, you know, what does that mean? What actions are taken? What tools do we have and what tools can we give our planning and development department to be able to take actions to address the chronic problems? I know there are things that we've been working on. I imagine we'll probably touch on some of that this afternoon. But particularly holding, not only holding the students accountable, holding the landlords accountable, being swift, as swift as possible, so that we don't have, you know, a 6-month process to get a problem tenant out, if that's what's going on. To what Ms. Carr said about real estate, I would very much like to know what their thoughts and intentions are with Washington University or with the West Famous Bar campus. I talked to somebody yesterday or 2 days ago who told me that they had heard Centene was interested in it. But we have a huge amount of property that's in U City there. So I do think that they should be communicating with us, at least not catching us off guard. So those are my comments.
And it was my understanding, and certainly my colleagues, particularly Councilman Cusick, can correct me if I'm wrong, that as it relates to the study, I thought how we were proceeding is we were fully prepared to do it on our own. We've allocated the funds to do so. We were going to see if they wanted to participate in some way. Because it's my understanding that while the information that the consultant needs is largely public, clearly it helps if they're involved to get information and some access, but we can do it without them. So I thought it was more we would talk to them, see if they're interested in helping some way with very clear articulation of what their role is, especially given the new leadership of Chancellor Martin, because it's my understanding the last conversation happened under different chancellor leadership, and so there might be an opportunity here. Certainly if they were willing to pay for some of it, that's to our benefit. But again, we're fully prepared to proceed without them, without their money, without their cooperation if need be. So I could be wrong on that, but that's what I kind of thought.
There was an option to go with Washington University, and I believe that Mr. Rose talked to a number of members of council who felt strongly that it was more appropriate for us to go it on our own. So there's really not an engagement right now with WashU on this particular issue. That's why the money was put in the budget to have the consultant go forward just with UCity.
Terry.
Councilwoman Carr.
Thank you. So if you do a study and you do an incomplete study, it will be worthless. You need to, in my opinion, you need to look at the economic influence because that is what Washington University touts. Our students shop here, you know, so that would be an important component. But I think it's also important to know what the cost is to us to maintain that relationship. And that's an operational thing. So there are heavy trash trucks coming out next to music. It could be the same as everybody else's heavy trash trucks, but it's specific to, you know, to their contract. And I know that you and I once had a conversation about a woman who was no longer living in her house, and she didn't want to pay for the empty house, and she didn't want to pay the trash fee. And you explained to me that because the trash trucks had to travel down that street and still had to sweep the street and pick up the leaves and everything else, that she was responsible for one or the other. And that's the case here, but not just for Washington University, for all not-for-profits who also are located here. And so just so everyone understands, Parkview Gardens used to be swept weekly. In my neighborhood, it's three times a year. In your neighborhood, it's probably three times a year, unless you live in one of those areas. It's now swept once a month, as I understand it. That's 12 times a year compared to everyone else who pays taxes and gets three times a year. So, you know, so those are the things. But it is extremely important to look at the economic influence as well as the effect on property values. Property values in Ames Place, but property values in Parkview Garden. And I understand that, you know, that there there's also a push there are proposed living units in Lewis Center. So that puts a stress on additional parking if they haven't provided quite enough. Those are all the kinds of things that we want to look at. But is having them there an economic plus? Do they then shop in the Loop? How many times do they eat in the Loop? Do they, at other places, because there isn't, other than Provisions, which is in the city, there's not a convenient grocery store unless they get in their car. So I'm making a plea to include the economic influence, and I hope my colleagues will agree with that, because I think an incomplete picture is not a picture.
Mayor Crow?
I don't think that anybody probably disagrees with that. I think Gregory was just asking for... I think the fiscal impact probably was at the top of the list, and probably mm-hmm. economic impact probably comes a close second. I would say, though, the one thing that I think we have to mm-hmm. pay attention to is that we're kind of right now walking down the street with our legs in both in two different camps here, and that we really on any policy level, we're not engaging with WashU at all. We have a new chancellor who has signaled that he'd like part of his tenure to be about WashU's contributions to the community at large. And we're really not, unless somebody else is having conversations, we're really not having conversations with the new administration on any substantive level. It had been my hope that would be part of the joint impact study with WashU, that we would have the opportunity to have those discussions, but that's not the way we went. We're going a different route. So if we're going a different route, then we really kind of got to decide, you know, if we're going to wait on an impact study that's going to take a while and we're not doing anything else, then we've really, to me, there either has to be an engagement with WashU in a positive form of communication about what's going on, or there needs to be, frankly, a negative, which is, this is what we're going to start implementing. You know, you'd almost be looking to John and to Cliff to say, what are the things we need to be doing now that tighten the reins on the university, if you will? Because right now, I mean, right now, if I'm WashU, flipping seats, if I'm WashU, I'm kind of happy because it's clearly status quo. And it's going to be status quo for the next year, year and a half. And that really takes us off of their radar screen. I mean, it takes us completely off the radar screen, because if we're waiting on an impact study, and we clearly are, then we're not doing anything to engage with the decision makers who are going to move on to other things. It's clear that the footprint at Jackson and Forsyth, the old famous bar building, it's clear that doesn't fit the rest of WashU. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit architecturally. It doesn't fit structurally. It doesn't fit purpose-wise. And so there's clearly going to be something happening, yet we're really not a part of that conversation. And I appreciate whoever, it may have been Paul, I can't remember, but I mean, one of the reasons I first got elected was because of that little Millbrook Plaza, when WashU was going to tear down five houses, and the incumbent council person really wasn't too engaged or wasn't too worried, and the people who lived right through there were. And so that sort of, if you will, changed the tide. But my comments to both my colleagues and to the senior staff is that, you know, we've really got to start making a move left or right, because the status quo, and I just mean the immediate status quo where we're right now, we have nobody's attention. Nobody's. So we either need to be saying, this is our plan for the next 6 months, that we're going to be doing this, 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 and this, and we start engaging with them and let them know exactly what we're doing. Or we're doing a moratorium on this, or we're doing this, or we're doing this. Or we flip back the other way and say, we want to engage with you on this, because they have the benefit of time and money. They can outlast, I mean, we all they can outlast every one of us. So there's got to be some level of engagement, whether it clearly is in a positive nature or it's in a negative nature. But this thing, we haven't really had a substantive conversation with the senior folks at WashU in months. And that's probably not good for any of us, and it's not good for our citizens.
So let's kind of close off the strand of things that should be addressed by the study. I think we have a fairly good list. Is there anything that anybody wants to add to that? And then other council members' reaction to what the mayor said in terms of what do we do over the next several months?
So first I'm going to say that we do have a zoning committee that the mayor formed. And so action, gentlemen, some suggestions. But secondly, I think we do engage on both ends, positive and negative. You always talk to people. So I don't think maybe you do need our encouragement and consensus on whether you do that or not. But I thought it was clear that we were still trying to work with them in terms of policing. So if that's the issue that they're most concerned about, because they just had a carjacking of one of their students. So if that's the issue they're most concerned about, well, let's catch them on the things that they're really concerned about and see if we can't extend our influence there. At the same time, we have to think about the long term, not the next 5 years, but what's going to happen to this city in 25 years when the amount of property is greater, when the when our infrastructure is older and needs to be replaced. And so I think that as projects come up, for instance, this is not necessarily my idea, but I think we're doing something on one of the streets in Parkview Gardens and on which Washington University owns a substantial amount, and it'll come to me which street it is, owns a substantial amount of property. How much do they own? Westgate, thank you. So how much do they own? Do they own 50%? Do they own 40%? Do they own 30%? If we're making those changes to the infrastructure, why not tap them to help us make those changes? You know, say we have a city match to that federal grant. I know you made a match to the city for that bridge that goes over the Forest Park Parkway. Thank you very much. Yeah, so we'd like you to consider making a partial or a full contribution to the street on which, you know, maybe you just prorate it based on the number of residences they have. But those are things that we need to be thinking about all the time. Who's the major beneficiary? The major beneficiary right now in Accurate Park is truly Washington University, but we have that covered because we have those funds that were earmarked for that. So I'd like to see more of that. And then praise, I mean, honestly, everybody likes praise. We should, you know, we should praise them when they step up and do something, you know, really positive. I know that was a negotiation from our city attorney. Thank you very much. He seems to be really excellent at doing things like that. So we apply pressure where we can. We apply, you know, good negotiating skills. Thank you very much, Terry, where we can. But we always invite them to the table. We never exclude them. Now, if they want to dictate how the table's set, that may be another issue. But so those are my thoughts.
Any other thoughts? Councilman Matt?
Yes. That was your last comment is where I was headed, because I didn't think the change in direction with the impact study was to exclude WashU, much like Stacy, your memory was. It was about the manner in which they were offering to pay for half but yet their half contribution seemed to be geared at taking control of the situation. And my thought, and I think at least I'll just speak for my thought was that for that level of contribution, they were buying too much. They were getting more for they were getting more bang for their buck by getting more seats at the table, more ability to control the message by doing that than we should really allow. That was basic. My thought was we can say, well, we'll pay for it, and then we can still invite you in, and you can still participate, but now it's our study, and talk to us. So the communication would be there, but it just wouldn't be because we're a half, we paid for half, we get to tell you what we're going to do. And that, I thought, sent a message as well that the way we're going to work is cooperatively, and we're not going to be talked at because you can outlast us. We're going to be here, maybe not this council in this configuration forever, but University City will be here, Washington University will be here, and it's how we have those discussions and from what position we want to present them is what that discussion was about. But not to exclude, I don't, at least in my opinion, it wasn't about exclusion, but it was about fairness. And so we want to have those discussions, but not where we're giving them too much room to manipulate the situation. And that, I think that was the fear. And hopefully we can build on those communications to build a level of trust between the two entities so that these communications continue to flow more freely than they might otherwise. And I think, so if we can take any opportunities that we have to have ongoing conversations, you know, is it a small one that builds to a larger one? That's great. But that's, I didn't think it was to exclusion.
Councilmember Smuggleson and then Councilmember Hill.
Well, I'm just kind of curious about something that the mayor said and also agree with the first part of what Councilmember Carr said, and that is what I'm curious about is why we aren't still in discussion with WashU, especially about public safety. Because, you know, as Councilmember Hales brought up, and we all are well aware, when we have an incident and we have 10 or 12 U-City officers show up and two WashU officers show up, that's a huge disparity in reference to what they're using in reference to services. And here we are, we've got this point, and I don't know why we weren't still in discussion with them about that, because that to me is a huge part of what we can both benefit from mutually, and that is public safety. And again, that is a big key. And there's students in the Del Mar Loop. And I will always say this, is that what sits between WashU and east and northeast of U-City is the U-City Police. And so I think that's something that we should continually talk to about because we both mutually benefit from that. Thank you.
If I can reply, it's clear that the city manager still has conversations with WashU on a regular basis. But the last substantive conversation, unless other members of council have had it with anyone at the senior most levels of WashU, the last conversation we had was about the dilemma when the police were called out and had to take over Ames Place because of the WashU party. But that's really been the last conversation, and that was last April, wasn't it? It was Mardi Gras weekend. I mean, that was pretty much, for me as the mayor, that was the last time I have engaged in a substantive conversation with WashU on a policy level.
Well, you teed me up really well.
Well, I mean, that really was the last time. I mean, again, I think Gregory has ongoing conversations, but that was the last time.
Well, I also know, to respond to Wayne, I know from talking to Chief Hampton myself that since that incident, the police are engaging with WashU, and I'm sure he can talk about that himself this afternoon. But I don't think that we've necessarily been briefed on all the details on that, but just because we haven't, I'm pretty confident that they are very seriously engaged with WashU and their police department. So having not had a conversation, when I came on the council last year, we had meetings with the WashU government affairs people. I met with two people. And then I never heard from them again. And they're supposed to be the liaison. And yes, the relationship goes both ways, but I have not felt like they have had much of a desire to engage. They did when they had a problem this spring, and that was all about trying to put the fire out and the public, the PR issue out as quickly as they could. But I'm all for having discussion, and I don't think it, you know, no matter how this study proceeds, like if it proceeds as an independent study, that should not mean there is no conversation with WashU. I have some concerns about the people and the levels at which they are. They're the people that are our counterparts, because the level of engagement with them just has not been there. And frankly, I hear the same thing from the residents in Ames Place who have this regular meeting, that there's just not the engagement there. There was initially after the event, and then everything got quiet. So I'm all for having those conversations, but I don't think it's necessarily my place as a single council member to. I'd like to see what the plan is to start that engagement process or restart it with them.
I just wanted to clarify an issue for the mayor and council. We are engaged with Washington University on putting together a plan for the Loop area. So that public safety issue that you raised, yes, we're very involved with them. And indeed, that's the area that Chief Hampton and their chief over public safety are trying to develop a strategy that we're going to have a work session with you on once that's in place. Now, I don't know what that strategy is going to be, whether it will include infrastructure such as additional lighting. I suspect it will include additional personnel, and I suspect it will include additional technology such as cameras and so forth. But once that's in place, once we have a report, we're going to bring that report to you in a study session forum. And in fact, we are scheduled to provide you with at least a cursory briefing, I believe, maybe sometime in October or November. It's on the study session schedule, which we will get to in the afternoon. But as a part of the public safety briefing that Chief Hampton will do, he'll provide you with some insight as to what the status is in developing that that strategy at that point.
Thank you. I that's what I was going to bring up, was that it was my understanding that Chief Hampton and the Chief of Security for Washington University actually have been having monthly meetings to coordinate efforts, and that's been going ongoing, as well as to do some shared ride-alongs between University City police officers and Washington University security. So that conversation has been taking place, and they've been looking at that issue. We do have some dialogue with some of our counterparts over at Washington, with Rose and with Joanne, but that's on a limited basis. One of my what I'm thinking is that once we have this impact study and we have some results from that, that we would be able to sit down and have a liaison situation with University City and Washington University, so that we can bring all of these issues to the table with one core group that would have an idea of when these disparate parts are talking, when our police officer or when our chief of police is talking with Washington University security and other organizations from Washington University, so we have a centralized method of finding out what is going on between the two entities. But at the same time, I think that we need to start looking at our codes and seeing what we can do now with our codes to make the situation a little better, as they would say. Thank you.
If I could just add, I believe that the fiscal and economic impact study will provide you with information on whether there exists a balance between the resources that are used for WashU and the resources that they contribute to the city. Once you have that information, you'll know. So that will drive the policy discussion on whether you need something like a bed tax, or whether you need something like a pilot, or whether they need to contribute to infrastructure more than what they're doing today. But that will provide you with a way of quantifying what those impacts are, and you don't have that information today to really guide you on creating any sort of policy. But we all know that they certainly are impacted by public safety, and we all know today the amount of money that they contribute to public safety is in my mind, less than what they should be contributing.
Councilmember Clay.
So let me just recap. So I'm clear, as it relates to the study itself, are we saying that, yes, we've allocated funds, yes, we are able to do this on our own, but we are saying to WashU, if you'd like to participate, here are the terms of participation, but you're welcome to. Is that what we're saying, just so the city manager kind of has a clear direction on that?
Well, I mean, I think they're invited to, but I think WashU, I can't speak for them. I think they probably felt like they made a reasonable offer to us, and they, if you'd like them to participate as far as sending people or having folks be accessible, I think they'd be happy to do that. But I don't think they, I can't speak for them. I don't think they have any interest probably in participating in the financial part of it, nor have we asked them to participate to any degree. I mean, really.
Well, can we let them refuse? I mean, can they?
I mean, what do you ask? But what are you asking them to do? Are you asking them for money, or are you asking for participation?
Participation.
So just people to come and
provide information. I mean, again, as I understand it, the consultant can do it without them, but it is easier to do it with them in terms of accessing information and just being able to do a thorough evaluation of the situation.
I don't know that we've made that request. I'm sure Gregory could easily make it. I think they'd probably be more than willing, I think, to share information. I would tend to think that.
And look, if they want to throw in some dollars, I mean, I don't think we're going to recoil from that.
Councilwoman Carr.
Thank you. So I want to disagree with the city manager. I think we do have an idea of the impact on our city. Otherwise, I think it's disrespectful to those 14 people, many of them who are community leaders like Todd Swanstrom, in terms of, you know, the city's even asked for him to be on one of their development boards. So we did have some experts. Pardon?
Todd's no longer a citizen. University City.
Oh, okay. All right, but he was at the time. He was at the time. And so thank you for the correction. So for whatever this is, it may not be as strong a look, or it may not have been in the direction that, you know, that you want to talk about, but I think it was very clear that there's an imbalance. And so I would be loath to disrespect any of our commissions and boards unless it's clear that they are malfunctioning. Okay? So that would be the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is that I'm not keen on asking Washington University for funding, because they came in asking for 6 of the 13 positions, and that they agree with everything that we had, that they had final say over what would be the scope, essentially. And that is where several of us said, no, wait a minute, this is, you know, we'd like something a little more open-handed, because Washington University was consulted in the first go-around. They were allowed not only to present all of the things that they, the impacts that they felt that they made on the city, but as well, they were there was a liaison to them who worked at the university and who went back and forth repeatedly. So I can't see that they were ever excluded, but they did reject the outcome of that report. Also, the former mayor tried to squash it. The former co-liaison with me, Steve Kraft, tried to get it to be changed during the course of it, what it said, and also tried to squash it. And by the way, that was done as late as the evening before when I received the packet for the outsourcing of EMS. So, you know, so it's all, for me, it's all colored by, you know, by all of those things that happened. So new day, new council. We ask them to come to the table and talk to us about any number of things. You know, we're not asking them to reimburse us for this study. You know, for whatever it is, I'd like the autonomy of being able to say to the consultant, you know, here's essentially a scope, and Washington University can certainly pick up the phone and say, we'd like you to include in the scope this thing or that thing. I mean, there's nothing to prevent them from doing that. But giving us the cold shoulder is infantile, and I don't think they're quite at that level. They may ignore us. And by the way, the little meeting that we had with the governmental affairs people, they wanted to bundle Tim and me, and it was a bit awkward and disrespectful in and of itself. You keep hearing me say the word disrespectful, because that's what I think this whole conversation has up till now been about. We need to respect our partners, and they need to have a reason to respect us too. And I think that sometimes, because you are in an upper position, doesn't mean that that in the long run you'll remain there. There may be something, as we've seen, that they want from us. And so it behooves both of us to assume a respectful partnership in terms of discussions, if nothing else, in terms of discussion. So those are my basic disagreements with the positions that have been put out here. I want them at the table. I think we're foolish if we keep moving along without bringing them to the table. So we keep inviting them and let them say no. I bet they'll say yes.
Shorter lunch period, say a half an hour or so, and then take up the loop issue following that, and try to keep that within a half hour to 45 minutes before we move on to the rest of the agenda. Is that an acceptable way to proceed?
Okay. Sometimes Councilmember Carr is a tough act to follow. And I have to say that everything that she just said, I have to agree with 100%. Washington University, I'll just say that the original study that Washington University wanted buy-in on, they wanted to control the scope of the study. And I was one of those council people that was opposed to that. So that's why Washington University is not involved in this, because I really feel as if that would be putting the fox in charge of the hen house. And I just could not accept that Washington University would be able to control the scope of the study, and that's why I was opposed to the original plan that they had. I know that the mayor said that they had a reasonable offer, and I have to disagree with you, sir. I don't think that there was a reasonable offer. I think that they were very clearly out to control the scope of the study, and that we need to be able to have a neutral study that really shows what the impact is.
Councilman Kay,
and I don't disagree with anything that's been said. I think we just make the offer for them to participate. They want to pay for it, that or help, that's fine. But we control all aspects of it. I mean, we've allocated the money. We don't need them, but we just ask the question. If they don't want to do it, that's fine. We go for it.
Yep.
comments about City Manager?
Let me first state that certainly my prior comments were in no way meant to demean the work, Mayor Pro Tem, that the prior task force had done. It was just simply recognizing that the information for this new study is not available at this point. And I think that if you're going to use that as a part of making policy decisions, then, you know, clearly it has to be finished. If I could just also indicate what I at least perceive to be what I'm hearing and the next steps that we would be taking, and get your agreement that this is appropriate to do so. Perhaps one, the first step is maybe for the invitation to go out to WashU to meet with the subcommittee so that you can have a discussion about what you're trying to achieve and what role WashU can play. And that would focus more on being informational for them versus anything else, and being available to provide the subcommittee and the consultant that would come on board with any documentation that they might need. The second, after that, it would be to meet with the possible consultant so that they can hear clearly from you what the expectations are for the study. Then to create a scope, and then to actually conduct the study. So is there any issues of concern with any of those steps that I'm proposing?
Councilmember Kerr.
Which subcommittee are you referring to, please?
That's the subcommittee that actually the council put in place that I believe Councilmember Cusick is.
So it's on
chair.
The zoning that
yes.
you want to discuss with them. Okay.
But I believe that this proposal for a fiscal economic impact study emerged from that subcommittee. So okay. That's the reason that I'm suggesting that they be the body that would initially meet with WashU representatives.
Okay. Comments on that, Councilman
McMahon? I just would revisit that a little bit because my understanding of the subcommittee was it was on. There was a divergence between things we can do and things we would need to do with Washington University. And the subcommittee was about things we can do to protect our own interests. And the reason the impact study bubbled up in our meeting in the subcommittee was because we didn't – some of the things that the code would address were quality of life issues. And we contacted you to say, does the entity that performs the study – look into quality of life impacts, or is it more the number crunching? And I thought what we got back was the quality of life really isn't what they do, and so we said okay. At the same time that conversation was going on, the conversation about seats at the table and who's controlling the impact study scope of work, that was going on at the same time, but our task, I don't think, was related to that on the subcommittee was to the impact study. It only bubbled up because we wanted to know if the impact study addressed that, then we could use that on our subcommittee as you said, to direct the policy. But since it's not, we're kind of left, it came back to us to say, well, then we'll dig into the code ourselves and we need to do that. So that was my understanding.
Would it be more appropriate for the discussion, if you agree that an initial discussion with WashU representatives is appropriate, then is it more appropriate to have that discussion at the full council level?
I will say I think so.
Okay.
So is there concurrence with the city manager's summary of how to proceed? Let me take off my facilitator hat and put on, I've been around here a while hat. From my perspective, my judgment, my experience, the key person that you need to have at the table is Hank Weber.
He he's kind of the, he's the guy behind the chancellor. He's the CFO. He's
everybody's boss, but the academic side.
Yeah, he runs the business part of WashU.
But he also prides himself on being a superb urban planner.
So. As far as it relates to outreach, would that be appropriate for staff to draft a letter from the mayor to WashU? Any issues of concern making that invitation since it's at the council level? Okay.
Could we get a the letter before it went out so we could see it? Thank you.
Yes.
Can I just say one thing to, as this gets concluded? What I heard here today about WashU is there is clearly a lack of trust between some of us and the university. I think it's taken a long time to get to that point. I'd like to see us get back to, you know, and I was very optimistic that we would have an opportunity to reset that relationship with Chancellor Martin. I'd like to see that happen. But I think we have to communicate that. Like we have some bridges to differences to bridge and get to a place where we can find that trust. I'd love to talk to Hank Weber. I've never met him. And frankly, I think that any one of us at the council level representing the people that we do, we should be meeting someone like him in his position.
He's the one making the decisions on these
Correct.
Matters. More than any other individual, including the chancellor. Back to facilitator. It's now roughly 5 to 12. We'll reconvene at 12:30. We'll spend no more than 45 minutes on the loop as a discussion item and then move into the work plan. Aim for us. That's fine. Everything is up to for discussion, so that's fine. Enjoy the lunch.
Lunch is being held on the